if you've read the Sri Prabhupada Lilamrita, was it had that bittersweet quality, especially after May 77 was the last year. In May, Srila Prabhupada, he made one mighty effort to get his health back. Nothing was working. If you heard the recordings from the Gopurneet Festival that year, Prabhupada became so ill that he couldn't even give class toward the end, pretty early on after the festival started. So they were trying different things, and finally in May, Prabhupada was in Bombay, and someone suggested Rishikesh. You may have seen the pictures or the films. So the devotees, a rather large party, go with Prabhupada to Rishikesh. And because there's pure water, that's where the Ganga starts up high, so it's not like, you know, down further stream, where there's so many other things in the water. So Prabhupada is there amidst pure air, pure water, pure followers. And if you've seen the films or the pictures, it's still not working. Prabhupada is looking very wan and just skeletal, not just thin, but practically skeletal, looking very thin. And they're trying, they were there for maybe 5 days, and it didn't work. So then Srila Prabhupada told the devotees, so if I'm to pass away, then I have to go to Vrindavan. Because Prabhupada told us, he said, to be born in Vrindavan is good, to live there is better, but to die there is best. Yeah. So naturally the devotees were very sad. I mean, they're happy they were with Prabhupada, but now Prabhupada is telling them, frankly, my manifest lila, it's winding up. So we have to go to Vrindavan. And so in Vrindavan, we'll look at this in lesson 8, to love is to cooperate. In Vrindavan, Prabhupada was, over the course of the year, he was getting more and more weak. At first they were taking him on Palanquin. He was walking, and then he had to take him on Palanquin. And then finally, he couldn't even leave his bed. And the mood of Prabhupada's last year was, of course, he's in the topmost level of devotion. He's Uttam Adhikari, Mahabhagavad, Shaktivi, Shavatar, Nityasiddha, all those things. But Prabhupada, during his preaching lila, most of the time with us, he was behaving like a madhyam, because he had to relate to everybody appropriately to bring them to Krishna consciousness. But in the last year, he wasn't scolding anybody anymore. He wasn't correcting. He was just in the mood of ultimate gratitude, ultimate humility. He even said to, we'll take a look at this in lesson 2, he even said very near the end to Bhakti Thiru Maharaj, he said, call all the Gandharvas. I have to apologize to them. Because to protect the Hare Krishna movement, Srila Prabhupada had to say and write and publish some very heavy things about what happened to the Sangha of his own Guru Maharaj, the Gaudiya Mission. He did not want that happen to ISKCON. So protect ISKCON, to protect our Sangha, he said some very heavy things. But in his last year, Prabhupada, because he was in the mood of Uttam and he wasn't descending the Madhyam to preach, he was saying, call all the God brothers, I want to apologize to them. So many of them came. And they all came in the room where Prabhupada was. And he said, please forgive me. I am Mahapatita. I am greatly fallen. So one Ashram Maharaj, who became kind of the spokesman for the God brothers, he said, no, you're not Mahapatita. You're Mahapatita Pavana. You're the savior of the fallen. And remember that these are the same people. Many of them appreciated Prabhupada's work, but many of them were disturbed by what Swami Maharaj, how he was spreading the movement, allowing men and women to serve together in the same centers, allowing us to call him Srila Prabhupada, which they thought was only for the likes of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta or Srila Rupa Goswami. But now that Prabhupada had gathered them in his quarters, his disappearance quarters, they became very changed by Prabhupada's humility. So when Ashram Maharaj said that Yir Mahapati Tapavana, Prabhupada was saying, no, I became very proud. Mm-hmm. So many disciples came, so much Lakshmi came, so many projects came. And so Ashram Maharaj said, no, all these things followed you like maidservants because of your purity. You did what Guru Maharaj asked us all to do, but you did it. You know, when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta sent the first Gaudiya Vaishnava preachers, Gaudiya Math preachers, to Europe in the 1930s, and then they came back without much result, because they just couldn't penetrate. They couldn't penetrate the thick covering of passionate ignorance. It's like the famous story of one Marquis of Zetland approached Bhakti Saranga Maharaj in England and said, Swamiji, can you make me a Brahmin? Oh yes, that's very simple. You just avoid intoxication, illicit sex, meat eating, and gambling. To which the Marquis replied, impossible! So that was the Gaudiya Math preachers, and that was the impression of the Westerners. They couldn't even follow the basic principles to become human, what to speak of, you know, become the Vaishnavas. So when they came back, Bhaktisiddhanta recalled them, because it wasn't really, it was very expensive to support these people otherwise. But he called them back, and later on you'll hear in one of the lessons that we get, where Sridhar Maharaj told Srila Prabhupada in Mayapur in 1976, he said, Swami Maharaj, when our godbrothers came back from Europe without much to show for it, we were thinking, how could it be? Mahaprabhu's this prophecy that's in the Chaitanya Bhagavatam, Priti Viti Achiyata Nagaradi Gram, Sarvatra Prachar, Aibe Moranam, and as many towns and villages there are on the surface of the earth, my holy name will be preached. How could that be? Because these people, they're just like dogs, hogs, camels, and asses. So Sridhar Maharaj said, we were thinking this prophecy must be some kind of poetic hyperbole. It must be some just fanciful, like almost like a wish. But then Sridhar Maharaj said, but Swami Maharaj, you've done it. You've done it. Therefore, Shakti Adesh. So we'll look at that in a later lesson. So then Ashram Maharaj, back to, I think this is October 77, said, when Prabhupada said, no, I became proud, then Ashram Maharaj said, no, you're our leader. You can chastise us. You are our elder. You are the leader. So finally, they were recognizing him publicly, his position, and actually the leader of the Vaishnavas. And, yeah, so in the last year, so in Prabhupada, he was just appreciating the devotees too, the ISKCON devotees. Anytime anybody would visit Prabhupada, the tears would flow, and he just remembered everything that they did for him to fulfill the mission of his Guru Maharaj. So there was no more chastising. So people always ask me, So what are your pastimes with Srila Prabhupada? I always say, I don't have any. Because I was too scared. I just kept my distance. I was too young, too dumb, too scared. I'll give you a little glimpse of that. I don't think I told in the last class. I forget if I did it here or if I did it. Anyway, the Prabhupada's last visit to New Dwarka was 1976. That's Los Angeles temple. And I was serving at the BBT. I made the indexes in the back of the Bhagavatams. And my roommate was Devamrita Brahmachari, whom you know as Devamrita Swami now. He was a proofreader. And Jayadwaita Brahmachari, he was the editor. So it was a whole production line. So Prabhupada was in LA for about 10 days. And after about a week, I said to Devamrita, I said, hey Devam, Prabhupada's been here a whole week. Isn't it great? I don't know how much longer I can take it. So it sounds kind of strange, doesn't it? What did I mean? You know what I meant? Prabhupada was living across the street in his rooms at 3764 Waseca Avenue. We were living across the street and also on the corner of Waseca and Venice Boulevard, 9711 Venice Boulevard, in our BBT apartment. We weren't in Hari Shari's position. Hari Shari was the servant at the time. For any time, day or night, if Hari Shari heard that bell, he had to be up and in that room in a nanosecond, right? So we weren't living like that. We were living comfortably in our BBT apartment, carrying, you know, with our routine. I think it was, let's see, June, it was 7th canto, 3rd part 3. Yeah, 3rd part. Originally it came out of three volumes, the 7th canon. So we were going about our routine, and we were attending Prabhupada's classes, and we were going on morning walks sometimes, and then Yadavar Prabhu showed Prabhupada the spiritual frontier movie about New Vrindavan. But just because Prabhupada was in the neighborhood, his Krishna consciousness, we could feel it. And it was like a blazing fire. So, unless you became like fire, like that, you felt a little burned. It's something like a hot, sweet chutney. Too hot to bear, too sweet to resist. So I said after a week, hey Devam, Prabhupada's been here a whole week. Isn't it great? I don't know how much longer I can take it. Because in Prabhupada's just neighborhood presence, it was really Krishna, 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 24/7. There was no room for the false ego, no room for gross or subtle maya, right? So me being a neophyte, I felt like that. And I was always kind of like that in Prabhupada's presence. So I will tell you now how Prabhupada prepared me for his disappearance. He disappeared, as you know, on November 14th, 1977, in Vrindavan, in the ideal situation, surrounded by loving disciples, and those who were there, if they'd been here, I'm sure they'd told you about it. Now, it was like everybody was there. The celestials, you know, Shri Radha and Krishna. But I wasn't there. But, and I'll tell you where I was in a minute, but 2 years earlier, I had an experience that was a preparation for Prabhupada leaving. It was 1975. It was in, by the way, the fans are a little fast for me. Can you turn them down without turning them off? I know you're probably going to get hot if you turn them off, but I'm the guy that gets cold first. Old and cold, buddy. Just turn it down a little bit. Okay. So it was Miami, Florida. Have you heard of Miami? Yeah, it's a southeast United States, it sort of as a peninsula, you know, a little geography sticks out. And there's a big Latino community. Anyway, so so I was in Miami. True confession. And because I was distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, but after 5 years in the Hare Krishna movement, I joined in 1970, so this is 75, I knew where I belonged. I knew what my svadharma, what my svabhava, my svakarma was. And of course, this is all pre-varnashram iskcon. We're still pre-varnashram iskcon after all these years. We'll look at that in lesson 6. So I was really disturbed because I was distributing books, I could do it, and it was, you know, it was very pleasing to Srila Prabhupada. But right around that time, there began a real emphasis on getting more money from the people. And I didn't know how to get more money from people without them knowing it. I couldn't squeeze them for money without them feeling squeezed. Is Vaisheshika Prabhu in here? Okay, so you know Vaisheshika Prabhu, he wrote the wonderful Our Family Business book. And the bottom line, as Vaisheshika Prabhu says, every person you meet, they should be left with at least a favorable impression. Right? But I was even, they were even getting books from me, but they were feeling squeezed, so it wasn't even good. You know? So I didn't like this emphasis on money. And anyway, I knew that I belonged more working on the books, preparing the books at the BBT. So that's another seminar that happened, but anyway, it was Miami, it was February 1975, it was actually February 20, it was late 20s, somewhere on the 27th perhaps. So I was living in Gainesville, Florida, where today we have this nice program called Krishna House. It's the most successful college preaching in America, where 5 days a week the devotees go to the campus, and they have Krishna lunch, and they serenade the devotees with bhajan, and it's like very inexpensive. It's something the students can afford, and it's blessed, pure food, and so that's where it starts. And then if the students like, if they're intrigued by the food, it always starts with the food, right? As you well know here in Australia, with all your restaurants and Food for Life, and catering, and it's great. So, anyway, I was living in Gainesville, Florida, but this is decades before Krishna lunch. This is just Gainesville this time. And I was a typical burfi-chugging American brahmachari. Yeah, so, anyway. So, Prabhupada was in Caracas, Venezuela, his one and only visit to the continent of South America. Mexico, he was at a few times, that's Central America. So my temple president knew I was having a hard time. So we went down to Miami from Gainesville, and Amarendra, my temple president, who's now an ISKCON attorney, said that, "Hey, Sureshwar, how'd you like to go on a morning walk with Srila Prabhupada?" Now, I had never been in a situation with Prabhupada, less than 100 people, more like sometimes 300. You know, we'd see him once a year, right? Because it was 14 global trips in 12 years. So I said, "Yeah." So I jumped at it. It was a gray, drizzly morning in Miami Beach. And where Prabhupada was walking, the sand was very steep. The sand was coming down really steep, and then the Atlantic Ocean was coming up, and it only left, I think it was coming to be high tide, so the only place we could walk was this pretty narrow path in between the steep sand and the surging tide. So Prabhupada, so we were walking single file, and Prabhupada was in the lead, You know, you hear in the recordings. Oh, that's King, right? And then someone would call out a question from behind. And to answer the question, Prabhupada would turn and he'd face all of us. So we were always jockeying for position. We could be close to Prabhupada. So at one point in the walk, I came up. Somebody asked a question and Prabhupada stopped, and I stopped right in back of Prabhupada's head. I mean, literally this far from him. But I was in such maya, all I could do was think, wow, I'm right in back of Prabhupada's head. Jagat Guru, Shantyavi Shavatar, Sri Prabhupada. I was just looking at his head. I didn't hear the question. I didn't hear Prabhupada's answer as he started to turn. I was looking at the few silver hairs that was at Shikhan that were coming down to the bottom of his neck from the veil pattern baldness, his golden brown Bengali skin. Now just looking at Prabhupada's skull. Like some kind of guru groupie, you know. They say guru groupie. That's how I was. Because I had never been physically that close to Prabhupada. And I was just starstruck. Right? So Prabhupada answered the question, which I didn't hear. And as soon as I thought, wow, I am right in back of Srila Prabhupada's head, then I got a very clear heart transmission. There wasn't a voice in the sky. There wasn't skywriting. It wasn't like I saw flashes or anything, but it was a very clear Tene Brahma Vrida. Prabhupada told me in initiation, your name is a name for Brahma. Sureshwara means controller of the demigods. It's a name for Brahma. You are Sureshwara Das. You are a servant of the controller. So Tene Brahma Vrida, I got a real clear message. And you know what the voice said? It was pretty scary. Yes, you are right back with Srila Prabhupada's head. But you, my friend, are unlimited light years away from Srila Prabhupada. You are nowhere near him. And I became mortified. Oh my God, I'm in such maya. Here I am, right back with Srila Prabhupada. But I'm nowhere near him. And then, in the next instant, I became ecstatic because I realized it's true! Vani is more important than Babu. If I'm living in the love and the light of Prabhupada's Vani, his instructions, his vibration, and I'm with him. And if I'm just thinking in terms of the bodily concept of life, I'm lost. So that prepared me, because I was thinking, it's true, actually. Everybody has an equal opportunity to be close to Srila Prabhupada by living in the love and the light of his spoken word and written word. It's not just about a few people on his personal party, his Sanskritist and his servant and his secretary and his cook. No. Everybody has equal opportunity. So that prepared me. Okay. So then back to 1977. So as you know, with practically nobody left in September of 77, Prabhupada tried to do one more world tour. He did. He tried. And he was down to like, you know, 30 kg or some crazy thing. And Prabhupada said, this is just a bag of bones. Bag of bones. And then he said in another case, he said, this body, all the windows are broken, but there's still a light on inside. Because he was still dictating. You've seen the film, right? You've seen the pictures where Jayadwaita Brahmachari is holding up the mic. Because he couldn't hardly hear. He was practically whispering. And Pradyumna's giving the Sanskrit, And Prabhupada gave the translation to the Brahma Vimohana Lila. And when we got that copy, when we got that purport after Prabhupada passed away at the BVT, we were stunned. Because there's Prabhupada lying on his disappearance bed, but he's dictating these incredible purports, very complex, all about, because it's about, you know, Brahma stealing the calves, cows, cowherd boys, and Brahma goes, and he's Prabhupada talks about time on different planets. It's very scientific, it's very sophisticated. And Prabhupada's practically got no body left. He's totally beyond the bodily concept of life. And he's even cracking jokes about four-headed scientists. How they'll never, you know, like Brahma, they'll never, like Brahma, he's the biggest, he's the Adi Kavi in the universe. He's the head of our Sampradaya. He's the first created being. So Prabhupada said, but the four-headed scientists, they will never understand these things by speculation. So Prabhupada tries to do one more world tour. And he had already given us a prayer. You probably know the prayer. My dear Lord Krishna, if you so desire, please cure Srila Prabhupada. If you so desire. Right? It's up to Krishna. And we were begging Prabhupada to stay. I mean, we all were. Especially, you know, people who were with Srila Prabhupada. So, with practically nobody left, Prabhupada goes Delhi to London. And he gets, and they're just carrying Prabhupada. You know, he could lie down, he lay down on the plane. There was a small party, small Krishna Maharaj, Abhiram Prabhu, Prabhupada's nurse at the time. Upendra, I believe, was there. So Prabhupada was so weak that he could not even speak. Or he might have given us a very short talk just when he arrived at the manor. And then, of course, everybody's shocked to see Srila Prabhupada looking like a skeleton. And everybody totally shocked. So then Prabhupada, he comes down stairs at one point with Tamal Krishna Maharaj, and Prabhupada asks Tamal Krishna Maharaj to speak, because Prabhupada is too weak to actually speak. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he proceeds to regale the devotees with highlights of Prabhupada's preaching lila. Because it's right at the end. 14 times in 12 years, Prabhupada's attempting a 15. He got as far as the manor. And so at one point in TKG's talk, he said, of course, Srila Prabhupada, he only was with his Guru Maharaj 5 or 6 times, which is true. Physically, Prabhupada was only with Srila Bhaktisiddhanta 5 or 6 times. So, but when Tamal said that, Prabhupada interrupted him. And he said, actually, there was never a time when I did not feel my Guru Maharaj right by my side. He was fully absorbed in Vani Prabhupada, Vani Bhaktisiddhanta. So that's a very powerful message, and I'd just like to share with you before we get into where I was on that fateful day. It was pretty early in Prabhupada's, relatively early. Prabhupada's preaching wheel. It was 1971 January. And Her Grace, the late great Jamuna Devi Dasi, was with the Prabhupada's party of, as he called us then, dancing white elephants. Chance Prabhupada knew that if he brought the Westerners to India, they would be a novelty. Right? Western Vaishnavas, it sounds like a contradiction. How can you have that? So they were a big hit, as you know, with the Brother Lamrita. And then Prabhupada took them to the Mela in Allahabad, Prayag. And they had a good stop. The authorities had given them a good place. And they had tents. The men had a tent, the women had a tent. There was a cooking tent. Prabhupada had his own tent. It was very cold. It was very austere. So, Prabhupada... Many people were coming to see Prabhupada for his talks, Prabhupada. So, one fine morning, Prabhupada spoke. But before he spoke, the devotees, of course, had to set up the tent with chairs. And then... they were waiting for Srila Prabhupada to come out. So my god sister Jamuna, whose voice we hear every morning, of course, in Darshan Arti, she was sitting right in the middle of the chairs, right in front of Srila Prabhupada, because that's where she always sat. Ever since San Francisco, 1967, when Prabhupada established a temple in the Ashbury in the middle of the counterculture, hippie land. So she was always used to sitting right front and center, so she wouldn't miss a word, because she was so attached to hearing Srila Prabhupada speak. So they're waiting for Prabhupada to come out, and Jamuna's sitting there, and she's softly chanting her mala, and then she hears a voice.
Psst, Jamuna!
You see where the Indian ladies are sitting, kind of off to the side and behind. You should sit with them. It's India, right? So, Jamuna thought, what's this? I always sit right in front, right where Srila Prabhupada is. I don't want to miss anything. So she looks around, and there, sure enough, there are these Matajis sitting on the side, a little behind. So she thinks to herself, I wonder what this is all about. Let me see. Let me try this. So she gets up, she goes and sits with the Indian ladies. And then Srila Prabhupada comes out and gives this beautiful lecture, and there's questions and answers, and Prabhupada beautifully answers all the questions. And then everybody leaves. And then the devotees, between speeches, between engagements, they're running around and setting up for the next engagement. Now, Prabhupada is in his tent, and he's chanting his japa, but the tent only comes down to maybe as high as this. So he can see from the bottom of the tent to the ground, he can see devotees and saris walking past his tent, and he knows who's dhoti and who's sari, you know, who's wearing what. Prabhupada always knew everything, you know, it was just the details. So Jamuna was walking by his tent on some errand, and so all of a sudden, when Jamuna walked by Prabhupada's tent, she hears Jamna. That's how Prabhupada always, you know, like Bengali way, the wise become jays, right? Jamna. So she goes in and then she bows down. Yes, Srila Prabhupada? So Prabhupada said, so you don't like to hear me anymore? That was too much for Jamuna. She just burst out crying, sobbing uncontrollably, inconsolably. And then finally, when she collects herself, she tells Prabhupada what happened. That this sannyasi, this rookie sannyasi, nouveau sannyasi, had suggested to her that it would be more appropriate if she sit with the Indian ladies. And then she says, Srila Prabhupada, what should I do?
So, Prabhupada didn't say a word for a long time. He just put his head down. And then finally he said, yes, this is India. And all of a sudden, Jamuna had an epiphany, a realization that it's not the Hay Ashbury anymore. It's not the West. That according to time, country, candidate, Prabhupada was presenting the Hare Krishna movement. And just like the old saying, when in Rome, there was a Roman state. So he was indicating to Jamuna that this was actually the etiquette in India. So then Jamuna got this. And so she said to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, how many times were you with your Guru Maharaj? Now it's a different time, place, circumstance. Before, Tamal had said, you know, Prabhupada was only with his Guru Maharaj 5 or 6 times, and then Prabhupada gave that answer. No, there was never a moment that I didn't think. But in this case, for Jamuna's benefit, he said, oh, maybe 5 or 6 times. But those were very intimate times. Intimate. Guru Maharaj, he always wanted to confide something in me. We'll look at that later. How Prabhupada became a very confidential disciple of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. And then Prabhupada said, Guru Maharaj told me that those who always wanted to be seen with him, like for a photo op or, you know, just wanted to be with Srila Bhaktisiddhanta physically, Guru Maharaj told me that they were like mosquitoes. Simply sucking blood. So that's all Prabhupada said. But Jamuna realized from this exchange that if she wanted to continue being close to Srila Prabhupada, she really had to explore this service and separation that we hear about. And really understand that and be in that kind of mood. And after that, she also had a lot of bhakti. She was serving Prabhupada intimately at Radhadamodar Temple, cooking lunch for him every day when Prabhupada was giving these famous nectar devotion lectures for many, many weeks. You'll see that. You'll see a picture of that. So Jamuna understood. Now, I didn't have that. It wasn't quite as dramatic as that, because Prabhupada said about Jamuna, she's in Baba, right? So she was very close to Srila Prabhupada during even Prabhupada's manifest Leela. Again, I was always in the back. I was always too scared. I was always too dumb. I didn't want to commit any offenses. I just hung back. So, but there was that moment on that morning walk, February 1975, where I realized I can be close to Srila Prabhupada someday in Mani. It's not about Bhakti. Okay, so let's go to November 14, 1977. As you know, Srila Prabhupada, he was in that house. Have all of you been to Prabhupada's house? Yeah? Very sacred spot. Yeah? You can feel the energy. It's so powerful. Prabhupada's there, and Prabhupada, I'm going to read you something, but let's see if I'm going to read you that yet. I am. Okay, let's go to let's go to October. I'm going to read you something, you probably didn't even know about this, but after His Holiness Satsarupa Das Goswami wrote Prabhupada's authorized biography, then he had so much more to express to the devotees that he wrote a Leelamrita in poetry form. Did you know that? It's called Remembering Srila Prabhupada. It came out in books, little thin books. And so I'm going to read you just the end. Okay, I'm going to make this a little bigger in my eyes. Yeah, there we go. Okay.
this verse.
October, quote, "Let me leave. It was very pleasant weather, but all things pointed to the end. The GBC was called again." Quote, "Expect the worst. They traveled in sadness, but always knew no soul dies, and especially Prabhupada, will simply go to Krishna Loka. As to this world, he had come in eternal service to his Lord. So if he leaves the world, there is no question of death, but life of eternal knowledge and bliss, and the followers live with him. On arriving in Vrindavan, he had sung the song by King Kulashekhar, 'Let me now die thinking of Krishna.' When his men arrived, each carrying some glad tidings, the results of vigorous preaching, they asked him not to leave, but to live. Harikesh Swami produced new books, which pleased and moved the life and soul of Prabhupada. 'Now you have to get healthy,' Harikesh said." "Healthy?" said Prabhupada. "I have nothing to do with this body." "How do you say, 'get well,' to someone who is beyond all disease, who says he wants to leave now, to answer the wish of his beloved?" He gave last instructions to Brahmananda, quote, "Jointly organize Africa, United Nations under Lord Chaitanya's flag." And when Kirtanananda brought gold, sapphire, and rubies, Prabhupada joked, "Why don't you find out some bride?" And he gave back the gifts for use in building new Vrindavan. "It is you we want," said Kirtanananda. "Please come to live in your palace." "Let us see," said Prabhupada, "which palace I am going to." Giriraj, Paramananda, Atreya, Lokanath, dozens more, all came and exchanged with him, and though sometimes tears ran, he never wavered. But he stopped calling doctors. Yeah, they were trying all these Ayurvedic doctors. They finally found one in Calcutta who they really liked, and it appeared to be getting results. But then Prabhupada just stopped it. He said, "Better you don't pray to Krishna to save me. Let me go now, and you continue singing." He didn't want to eat or drink, but "Let me drink just Harinam. For diet and medicine, let me depend on these." He wanted to hear what feast had been served to devotees in Vrindavan. Everyone liked, but for himself, he asked only for chanting. Okay, this is October, but then there's a dramatic turn of events in October. This poem is called, this, by the way, it's a poem, but it's called Free Verse. It's not a rhyming poem. "Please stay, we need you. How we reversed, I have told at length in Prabhupada Lilamrita, but here in brief. He said, 'I'm not drinking.' And when Upendra replied, 'How can you not drink?' 'That you discuss,' said Prabhupada." He meant, "You can discuss whether I should survive." Everyone was resigned. 4 men at once massaging him, 12 at a time in kirtan. If he spoke at all, they had to crowd around his bed, inches away, to hear his voice. He heard Hari Shauri crying, but said, "You, go on chanting." But then he opened his eyes and said, "The choice is mine. Krishna has given me full freedom." That was a different mood. But at first, no one replied. It took them all together, while he was resting, to come to the conclusion, "We should assert ourselves and ask Prabhupada to stay." When strongly they pleaded for his life, admitting, crying out, "Don't go, we need you," he agreed with a yawn. in a casual sounding way, "All right." And he began to drink again and called for strawberries. "This is real affection," he said. It was a test that they had had, and they had passed it. He had brought them to extreme distress in love for him, and they wrung it out, imploring him to stay with them because their lives were in his hands. Now he agreed to stay for the Bombay opening and to visit the new Vrindavan palace. He was smiling and they were laughing. "All right," he said, "but chanting should not be stopped. Things should go on naturally." And then this poem is called "But." But the long-term facts were different. Now in a deeper love exchange, the disciples were insisting he had to stay, but in a gentle way, they began to see Prabhupada was willing, yet there was something more. While he had to teach them how to love him, and while he had to stay to lead them, yet sooner or later, he would have to leave, thus teaching everyone how to leave and to learn the further lesson, how to manage ISKCON on their own. He had to leave the movement in their hands. "Nothing fanatical," was one of his expressions. They should not expect him to stay always in the world. This poem is called "Last Leelas." By the way, I was visiting Sansur Maharaj in August, and because free verse doesn't rhyme, and sometimes prose can be very poetic, I said, "What really is the difference between prose and poetry? What makes words a poem?" And he said, "When the words are most deeply thought and most deeply felt." That's why poetry is the most intense form of the written word. Nice answer. "Last Leelas," thinking that now his free will, thinking that now of his free will, Prabhupada would slowly get better, most of the GBC left again. While in the pleasant Kartik weather, Prabhupada remained in Vrindavan. But his final leela came to one more month. He began again to translate in the company of devotees, Jayadvaita holding the microphone as weak sounding but glorious. Devotional words came forth from his lips. His final 10th canto ecstasies, Krishna expanding into the missing boys and calves. In the very last days, hearing of the bullock cart preaching of Loganath Swami, Prabhupada wanted to make his own parikrama. At first he did it on palanquin around the temple, and then he said he would like to go on circumambulation of Vrindavan for Govardhan Puja. They could take him to Govardhan Hill, and they could all camp together. It would be, quote, a good picnic. But the doctor said his body could never take it. Quote, then to die on parikram is glorious. Some of his disciples agreed whatever Prabhupada asked should be given, including a last bullock ride. But his servants protested, especially Tamal Krishna Maharaj and Balananda Maharaj at the time, and Bhakti Chiru Maharaj. They couldn't tolerate it, that Prabhupada would be allowed to go on a bouncing bullock cart, right? But his servants protested. Again, the conflict of love. "You cannot go, Prabhupada," they cried in anxious grief. "All right," he said, "I will not go." "You are making us crazy in love for you." "Yes, that is my duty." I remember that. We heard that. Because all these things we would hear. Anything that Prabhupada said, it would come back to us, you know, in some way, even though it was before email and fax and anything. Somehow we could hear these things, probably by some telephone. November 14th, 1977. There was no last-minute change. In the center of a room full of devotees, all singing the holy names, he went back to Godhead. It was actually 7:24 p.m. IST. So tonight, I think I'll announce this now. You know, tonight's also the beginning of the seminars. So it's going to be a real challenge, because especially there's a poster out there, and it says 7 o'clock we're going to offer lamps to Prabhupada, and 7:30 we're going to have an RT. We're not going to do that. If we're going to start this seminar at a reasonable hour, which it's got to be 7:30 to 9, instead of 7 to 8:30 as advertised, because it's the Tirobhav, we have to observe that. We have to do 7:30 to 9. So it's 7. We actually have to do, if we're going to have lamps, it's going to have to be really quick, but we're going to have to do an RT for Prabhupada, and by the time 7:24 comes, we're going to have to blow that conch, bow down, and come down and hear the Thandaracharya. In other words, if you're going to come to that seminar and pass the word around, you've got to be in those seats in the theater before 7:30, so we can start at a reasonable time. Please. Because the later it gets, the more tired I get, the more tired you get. It's not the way to do seminars. We're doing two Fridays in the evening, and otherwise Saturday, Sunday, morning, and afternoon. So that's better. I'll read that again. It's just five lines. November 14, 1977. There was no last-minute change. In the center of a room full of devotees, all singing the holy names, he went back to Godhead. As soon as the Kaviraj waved his hand, he put the Kama Swab. There was no breath. And Kaviraj indicated, he's gone up. Because Prabhupada, if he's seen the image, his mouth is open. He's leaving out the mouth. 7:24 p.m. And then Satyamaraj says one last poem. Service and separation. Then there was grief all over the world for the devotees of Krishna. In Africa, they cried. In America, one devotee walked out of the house and into the woods. Or they hung up the throne and they cried. Wherever there were devotees, yet the sincere soon noticed, somehow, we are living still. Our purpose is still strong. Our duties have not lessened. And the need seems even greater to rescue the fallen souls. There is still someone to please. Srila Prabhupada is present. He lives forever by his divine instructions. And the follower lives with him. That's how Prabhupada dedicated the Bhagavatam, his Indian Bhagavatams. On the occasion of his Guru Maharaj's, on the 26th anniversary of his Guru Maharaj's disappearance, he lives forever by his divine instructions and the follower lives with him. Yet the sincere... Okay, we just did that. The day before he passed away, his disciples were Krishna conscious, and the day after he left, they were still Krishna conscious. But if their lives depended on him, how was it possible to live after he left? The answer came clear. This was service and separation. What before they had read in books, as the mood of the gopis, they now found in themselves as an ever-present strength. As sure as the vital air, as sure as the rising sun, as sure as Krishna himself, Prabhupada was present in his order. Service and separation became union with him. The books all confirmed it, as even stronger than his physical presence, which had come and gone. By service and separation, his presence became an open love to whoever was sincere. Now, from the smaller to the greatest, all can enter his presence. Whoever cares and serves, Srila Prabhupada is still in charge of the faithful heart. He is still flowing nectar to the river of his followers, and his movement won't collapse because Parampara is guided by the Lord's own hand. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jai. So, we're fasting till noon. I'll just tell you where I was. And as you probably heard Prabhupada's disciples say, even though it was obvious that Prabhupada's body was dwindling, that there was no way he could really stay in that body, we just couldn't imagine Prabhupada not being with us, you know, physically. We just couldn't imagine it. So we were in, as they say, absolute denial. So it was a shock when Prabhupada left. So it was 7:24 p.m. in Vrindavan time, and in America we got the word in the morning, the previous morning. So where was I? Well, I was serving at the BBT. But I wasn't in Los Angeles. Sometimes we... because LA... Has anybody been to Los Angeles? Okay, so it's pretty hectic. It's a big freeway. It's one big... Zoom, zoom. And Venice and Huatzica, where the community is, right, Venice Boulevard is the main artery. So anyway, we BBT workers, sometimes to do our work, we would take a little break. We would go down 60 miles south to Laguna Beach, where it was a little more mellow, and we're right on the ocean. But that weekend, it was a weekend, So that weekend, Govardhan Puja had passed. And I was invited up to Berkeley, California. This is the Bay Area, where San Francisco is, and then across the Bay, San Francisco Bay, there's Berkeley on the other side of the Bay. So that's where the temple was by then. So I was invited up by a friend of mine who was the temple president. So it was a nice Govardhan Puja, and everything was very wonderful, festival and classes. And then the evening when Prabhupada left, I was invited by the Sankirtan leader, my god brother Haripad Prabhu, to address the book distributors, because he thought it would be very inspiring for the book distributors to hear how the books were produced, because I was on the production line. I was the last guy. They were always telling me to hurry up, because I got the copy last. The tapes would come in from Srila Prabhupada, and then they'd be transcribed, and then they'd go to, and then printed, and then Jayadwada Brahmachari would edit them for clarity and force and proper English. So by the time I got the copy, they were always telling me, now Suresha, you gotta do this really fast, but indexing is a really intense thing. So Haripad said, why don't you address the book distributors? We have our own little ashram, and we have breakfast together. And you can tell us how the books are produced, the very books they're distributing. I said, great. I used to distribute books, I told them, and I know it from their end, and I know it from the production end, too. I can take them on a tour. So I was doing that. They were having prasad, and I was addressing them. And then at one point I noticed during my talk, Haripad leaving the room. He was leaving the room to take the call, little did I know. It was Ramaswar Maharaj at the time, on the line from LA to tell Haripad the news. Okay, so Hari Prabhupada disappears to take a call, and then he reappears at another point in my talk. And he went like this, time out. He called time. He wanted me to pause so he could make the announcement. So he made the announcement. Prabhu's, His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, has just left this world. And everybody was just stunned. Stunned silence. Nobody said a word. My talk was finished. Everybody's breakfast was finished. We were just stunned. So finally I got up and I walked to the brahmachari. His name was Bhakta Bill. And now, some years later, became Baladev Vidyabhushan Prabhu, who's Satsrupa Maharaj's right-hand man, you know, ever since, for decades. And so I was walking with Bhakta Bill back to where I was staying. And all I can remember is this. I kept saying to Bill, "We've got to cooperate. We've got to cooperate. We've got to cooperate." Because that's what we heard Prabhupada had said after he signed his will, before and after. "Your love from Vidya Bhushan, by how you cooperate to keep this institution together after I leave." You'll see that. We do in lesson 8. The lesson is called, "To love is to cooperate." That'll be Saturday the 9th. Yeah. And then my visit was up, so someone drove me to the airport, and I got on a plane. I was flying back to Southern California. Berkeley's in Northern California. And I just remember the plane ride back, chanting on the plane, and looking down at the earth. You know how when you look and you're on a plane ride and the earth looks so small? Well, this time the earth looked like the whole world was vacant, void, like in the Sri Krishna. The whole world seemed, you know, shunyayitam jagat sarvam. The whole world seemed void because no longer was it graced by the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. And then I arrived in Orange County Airport, where the Buddha Beach was, and the devotee picked me up. That's where I was staying to do my indexing. And he also didn't say a word, because we didn't have to do this. Acknowledge each other, and we drove in silence, japa silence, back to the temple. And I walked in, and the devotees were having, for the first time, they were singing what we sang in the beginning of this class, Yehavila Premadana, His Grace Avide Prabhu, my godmother, whom I think you know, famous Kirtaniya. And they were singing it for the first time after Prabhupada left. And it was at first it was very somber and slow moving. But then the more the kirtan went on, the more we all had the same experience, that we realized that Prabhupada is still present. Like Maharaj. He's still present more than ever. It's not that just a few people are intimate with Prabhupada as his personal traveling party, but he left this world, as one devotee who was in that room in Vrindavan said, "Srila Prabhupada left this world and entered into all of our hearts deeper than ever." So we were all feeling that in separation. And the kirtan became ecstatic. We were just, "Prabhupada's here with all of us more than ever." So when we do these seminars, this is a big message I want to share with you. I share in practically every lesson that just because you may not have seen Prabhupada physically, it doesn't really matter. I mean, it really, really doesn't matter. The Bapu was only an inspiration to serve Vani Prabhupada forever. I was right in the back of his head. I was in total maya on that morning walk. And then when he disappeared, by that time I felt so much closer to Srila Prabhupada. And now, what we have, Prabhupada in film and at the push of a button you can hear wherever he's whatever he's saying anywhere. Prabhupada is so much more available now than he was before. That was only a dream, we would say at the press. Wouldn't it be great at the BBT? Wouldn't it be wonderful if just at the push of a button you could call up whatever Prabhupada said anywhere, anytime? Because we didn't know all the letters and all the, you know, we just did a little keyhole glimpse of Prabhupada. And now you can see, hear Prabhupada anytime, anywhere. And that's Prabhupada, his, as he said, his separated energy. When you hear the recording of me, that's my separated energy. So we can serve him in separation and be even closer to him in separation, longing to go with him. And then when we leave this world, as people of my generation more and more, you know, we're leaving this world at a rapid rate, we can go to Prabhupada. We can follow him right out of this world. So, well, it's quarter after 9. Would you like to do Q&A? Or we just end? Okay, I'm going to stop there. Thank you for letting me share that. And if anybody has any questions or comments, I'm probably going to ask you to come to the seminar and find out the answer. That's the trick, right? Anyway, questions, comments, reflections, anyone? Prabhupada, where were you when Prabhupada left this world? You were in Mayapur. Okay. As I was sharing with Prabhu, who's been kindly sharing lunch with me, I never saw Prabhupada in India, where he was making himself more available in Bapu, because it was so hard for us Westerners to stay in India, you know, the water and the air and the cow dung fires and the... I mean, that was before Bisleri, you know, we were drinking pump water and getting sick as dogs. So you were in Mayapur. Do you remember the spot you were in when you heard the news?
We were in the temple room.
You were in the temple room?
Yeah. After the afternoon learning, they were in the temple.
Understand.
And they couldn't, 10 people couldn't say the Prabhupada's prayer.
They didn't want to say it?
Yeah, they said Prabhupada last night and then that's it.
They couldn't, yes.
We all need brothers.
Yeah. Yes. But he lives forever by his divine instructions. Prabhu! Maybe we need a mic? Is there a...
No, we don't need a mic.
Okay, you have one of those voices like Punch.
I will explain the difference between poetry and prose.
Yeah.
Can you comment on like Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita is all poetry?
That's right.
So how much deeper that must be?
Yes. Because it's God's poetry, or it's the pure devotee's poetry. Right? The British poet William Wordsworth defined poetry as intense emotion recollected in tranquility. So how much more, and that's just mundane poetry, which is so amazing still. Like Shakespeare. I mean, Shakespeare was so empowered that a deva, you know. To be or not to be, that is the question, whether to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune. Anyway, there's a whole, you know. So, what to speak of, Janma yasya yatom vayalita ritascha tesha vivyatsvara tene brahma vidaya adhika. This is the absolute truth. So the words are not different from the truth. It's not ordinary words. You're going to see in lesson 10 how my dear God sister Rukmini gave me when she was initiated, 3 days after she was initiated in Montreal, she said, Swamiji, when you're not here, no, it was Prabhupada by that spring it became Prabhupada. Prabhupada, when you're not here, I feel so far away from you. And Prabhupada said, oh, that you should not think. You're going to hear a clip of this in lesson 10. Oh, that you should not think. And then Prabhupada describes, there are two conceptions of the spiritual master. He didn't say Vani Bapu. He said vibration and physical, because he was spoon feeding us Westerners concepts in English, right? And then he said, just like when we open the Bhagavad Gita, we immediately are in Krishna's presence just by vibrating Krishna's words. And similarly, the words of the spiritual master. It's not different. So you shouldn't think, you should just remember the words of the spiritual master, repeat his words, and you'll never be apart. You'll always be close. Beautiful the way he said that. Yeah, so what to speak of words by Krishna and words about Krishna? It's how we can cleanse our hearts. Chaito Dharma Margin. Yeah. We can just kick out the garbage, replace the garbage, and line our mind with these beautiful word pictures. Yeah. Right? One should meditate upon the Supreme Person as the one who knows everything, Krishna says in the 8th chapter. Aditya Varnam Tamasa Parastam. I mean, this is beautiful poetry, and it's all the absolute truth. It doesn't get old. It's not like in English we have a rose is a rose is a rose. And that sounds nice if you say it three times, but if you keep saying it, here's a rose, here's a, it loses its, it gets stale. It becomes chewing the chewing. Because time acts on mundane vibrations, time dissipates. But anything from the spiritual world, not like that. It gets more and more relishable if we're actually in the right consciousness. So yeah, thank you for that reminder. So similarly, with these seminars, I know you won't be disappointed. Who was here in 2013 when I came? Okay. So it's much better now, because Prabhupada keeps showing me how to, you know, make the same points in better ways and better slides and better stories, and it's tighter now, you know. And so it's a new day. It's a brand new version. And yeah, so please come. Okay. Any other? Yes, Prabhu. Let us speak love.
Thank you for your class. I love it.
He's got a soft voice. He's Brahmin.
Who is know about the Vani and the Bapu and how the Vani is the most important and
yes.
The Bapu is supposed to inspire towards the Vani. But then we send this nice person of Jay Mila and the Narottam Das Thakur who offers this heartfelt prayer of having missed out on this Bapu.
Yeah.
How are we going to understand that?
It's natural. It's natural that, just like I joined the Hare Krishna movement in 1970, right? So people say, oh, you're so lucky, but what? How am I lamenting? I'm lamenting because I was born just 20 blocks from 26th Second Avenue in 1966, but I was so, in 1966, I was such a rabid young man chasing sex, drugs, and rock and roll that I didn't join until 1970. But I could have been there with Prabhupada. He was so close. Because why? In 1966, there were so few devotees, they would sit around with Swamiji in his quarters, apartment 2C in 26th Second Avenue, and just talk about anything under the sun. And then Prabhupada would always bring it to Krishna. So I missed out. Even Jaya Dwaita Brahmachari, he joined in 1968 at 26th Second Avenue. He laments, why was I just pursuing revolution, you know, like with the students in 19, you know, and it took me 2 years to get it. So it's natural, because when Prabhupada was walking among us, we had both. We had the instruction and the Bapu. Right? So it's natural that you want to be, and we can have that when we go back with Srila Prabhupada. But as Prabhupada said to Jamuna, those who just wanted to be seen with Guru Maharaj, they were like mosquitoes simply serving Gulaba. So it's the sound vibration, ultimately. It's by following the instruction that we become purified. Even, was it Dukhi Krishnadas? Was in the association of Mahaprabhu? Was that the one? Who was the one that got carried away by the Badaharis? Kala Krishnadas, not Dukhi Krishnadas. Kala Krishnadas. So you can be in the presence of Mahaprabhu, or you can be Prabhupada's personal servant. And then when they landed on the moon, you might know this pastime, right? Prabhupada watched the whole thing on TV in London. And then Prabhupada's personal servant got this, he had Shraddha, he had faith in NASA. That was his Shraddha, right? See, Srila Prabhupada, look, they landed on the moon. And then Prabhupada said, see, I told you they couldn't land on the moon. Because Prabhupada knows that at the very least, depending on how you see it, either they landed in Arizona, where I live, or they landed in Rahu, as Prabhupada also said, maybe they went to Rahu. Or at the very least, even if they went on that body, they couldn't enter into the atmosphere of that dimension, because it's a heavenly planet. They didn't have the proper visa, they didn't have the proper body, they didn't have the proper consciousness. So Prabhupada, see, I told you they didn't go to the moon. And so the servant scratching his head, and then he eventually left, because he had more faith in the material scientists than in the Bhagavad vision of the universe. So, it's not about physical presence, it's about consciousness, level of consciousness. And we can, and as I say, we have so much, like I feel so much closer to Prabhupada now. As I told you, when Prabhupada was walking among us, I was afraid of Prabhupada. I mean, I loved him on some level, but, I was a refugee from the counterculture, so still a lot of residual material desire there. So Prabhupada's like a roaring fire. And if you don't become like that, you just, it's too hot, the fire's too hot. But I feel so much closer to Prabhupada now, because now, what is it, 42 years on, 42 years ago on this titi, Prabhupada left this world. But I've been trying to follow his vani, and so I feel not so afraid anymore. I feel like I really want to meet Sri Prabhupada, I am meeting him every time I hear him, and every time I follow his instructions, but I want to meet him. Wherever he is, if he's preaching Leela somewhere else, So it's a big theme of this seminar series is that we all have equal opportunity, regardless of the God family or the generation, to have a foundational relationship with this divine grace, as his instructed followers, regardless of. I mean, even that's more of an identity for me than being his initiated disciple. You're going to hear me say that a lot in the seminar. I'm his instructed follower. And we all have that potential to have that core identity. So if you want to hear more about that, you've got to come to the seminar. This is an advertisement. This is an unapologetic advertisement for the founder of Charya Seminar. Okay, it's 9:30. Any burning last comments or questions? Let's see, we're going to gather. When are we going to gather now? 10:30, just an hour from now, with homages. So this is an homage from me, and now it's your turn. Because we are all Prabhupada and Buddhas. Shiva Prabhupada, Shiva!